Okay, welcome back, all of you gaslit familiars, to another episode of Spooky Movie Squad, the horror movie podcast that reviews the best and worst and everything between in horror, one movie at a time. I'm your host, Otis, and tonight, like always, I am joined by the Spooky Movie Squad, and that squad consists of Katie.
Hi.
And Emma.
Oh, hey, I was muted.
So sit back and relax and enjoy our review of the 2023 American action comedy horror film, Renfield. Sucks to be him. Hit that music.
Goblins, ghouls, and honored guests, take a seat and take a rest. From behind the curtain, a disconcerting nod, it's time to listen to the Spooky Movie Squad.
Happy spookies, everyone. This is episode 346 of this illustrious podcast and chapter one in our month on vampire movies. So this choice, I've wanted to review this one for a little bit. I was in the cards for
Halloween
Screamathon, but it just never came to fruition.
There's
but that's
so
all
many
right.
good movies in the Screamathon.
Yeah, it's all right.
It kept getting bumped by a bunch of other movies we also wanted to do, so.
But yeah, but yeah, it's all good because tonight's film is Renfield, and so it's based off of the 1897 novel Dracula by Bram Stoker. Now, this is they call it a sequel, it's a spiritual sequel to the novel or the movies, all of them. I think they kind of talk about all of them in a sense, or there's scenes from different ones. Yes, adaptations on it. But this film is about Renfield. Renfield was Dracula's familiar. So a good metaphor for people, if you don't know what a familiar is, remember all those humans in the Blade movies that were helping the vampires and Blade beat them up? Those are familiars. They do all the cool things for vampires when the daylight is out, because vampires have to sleep, or actually they don't have to sleep. They just have to chill somewhere where sun won't hit them.
Yeah, but they still got to pay their mortgage and, like, you know, go to the bank and get their dry cleaning, different things.
Yeah, and move around. In some versions, the familiars are just grumpy humans, like in What We Do in the Shadows, or you get scary versions of familiars, like in Salem's Lot, the Stephen King version of a vampire story, where that familiar, I can't remember his name, he was like 8 foot tall and kind of a zombie and just choked people out and dragged them back to the vampire's home. It's really good. So, but in this one, we have Renfield is just a normal-ish English man, but when he eats vermin, in the original novels, vermin, but I think that still ties into bugs, correct? Mm-hmm. He gets really cool powers, almost the strength of a vampire.
Strength.
Kinda, and can jump around and stuff. So, for the uninitiated, this film is about, like I said, Renfield and his journeys to try to be his own man and get out of a very toxic relationship with Dracula, portrayed by Nicolas Cage. So this is another film where our boy Nicolas Cage is acting his ass off, doing something crazy. But this character, Dracula, was actually one of Nicolas Cage's things he wanted to check off his like list of things he's wanted to do forever. There was some interview where he said that Dracula was one of the first films that his dad showed him when he was like a little kid. And he's like, I've always wanted to play Dracula. And he actually talked about Christopher Lee's version of Dracula and how he thought Christopher Lee was the coolest motherfucker in the world. And he wanted to be like him.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. Now, being that this film is new as shit, there's a lot of famous people that we actually know. So Nicholas Hoult, he plays Renfield in this. He's the young beast in any X-Men movie that you could see. And we have...
He's in Micah's favorite movie, Warm Bodies.
Yes.
He's also in The Menu.
Yes. Yeah. another misunderstood person that isn't that adverse to murder.
Yeah.
He seems like that type of character in all of his movies.
Yep.
Except X-Men. We get Awkwafina. It's So she has been in tons everything. Of things recently.
She's in everything. She's going to be in Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yes, I was going to say voiceover wise too. We have Ben Schwartz. Now, I remember him from Parks and Rec, but he's been in tons of other things, but a very funny guy.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Now, Katie, you got to help me with this name.
Shorey Agdashlu.
And so she plays a villain in this story, but Katie remember her from a ton of things.
She's in everything.
She like, has the most iconic voice.
She plays a doctor or a scientist in every show and movie that you've ever seen that features a female Indian scientist.
Yep.
She has cornered in on that niche and she crushes it. And her voice is so fucking fantastic.
I love her voice.
Like, almost like she has been smoking for 75 years, but but not. I don't know. Her voice is so fucking cool.
And then, like I said before, Nicolas Cage playing a really cool vampire. Not his first time playing a vampire. Vampire's Kiss. It's a very early Nicolas Cage film, and it's a good one. I actually like it. Just like Jim Carrey, one of his first films was about him. Oh, I forgot the vampire lady. She was really hot. Twice Bitten was the name of his vampire movie. We should do it one day. So this one was directed by Chris McKay. Once again, that name might not sound that familiar, but he directed and edited 3 seasons of Robot Chicken, and he was the director of the Lego Batman movie. And if you know me and Katie and a lot of other people in this world, we really like that version of Batman.
Alfred. Bring me my lobster thermidor.
Lobster thermidor is the best. The story was written by one Robert Kirkman. Now, I know some people just kind of sat up and were like, what? So he created The Walking Dead, Invincible. Hey, do you like watching shows on many channels right now that are really fucking popular? Yeah, Robert Kirkman probably helped with them. So this was a really cool story. Now, Universal Pictures were trying to make this monster multiverse. And it was going to start with the Mummy movie starring Tom Cruise. That movie did not do good. And a lot of other stories quietly became in their own world, like The Invisible Man.
That one was so fucking good.
That one did.
Oh my God.
That one did great. It was supposed to be a part of that world, but the fact that they weren't doing it anymore, they were like, it's just a movie. You
fucked up making a Mummy movie without Brendan Fraser.
How dare Absolutely.
You? How dare you cast Tom Cruise over Brendan Fraser? Trash.
Yeah. So there were tons of other ideas, and Dracula obviously was going to be in that world. So this movie kind of jumped into developmental hell after that Mummy movie failed. And so Robert Kirkman, he helped get this movie going. It took a very long time. We'll talk about how people felt about it later, because I was talking to my coworker earlier today, and he was like, oh, that movie, and then a sentence that I will say later, and I was like, I disagree, but, some people think certain ways about things. But, Emma, what did you think about Renfield?
I loved this movie. I went into it thinking that it was going to be very comical, and I was not disappointed with the amount of comedy that there was in it, but I was pleasantly surprised that it was more action, less comedy. But I loved it so much. I thought Awkwafina did a great job in her role. Occasionally with her roles, it's like, no, that was not the right place for Awkwafina, but this was great. Nicolas Cage was a nightmare to look at in this movie, and I thought they did great with that. But the Nicolases together did a great job. So I loved this movie. I hope that I can watch this many, many more times. Katie, what about you?
I agree. This movie is fucking great. Nicholas Holt did absolutely incredible as the like weird Dracula sidekick who was like tired of being a Dracula sidekick. And Awkwafina actually got to show off some of her acting skills in this. Mm-hmm. Usually it gets put in a movie to be the obnoxious comic relief, because of like her voice and just her overall very comedic demeanor. But in this movie, like, yes, she was doing that a bit, but she got a chance to really show off how she could be emotional in this movie, and that was really Agreed. Fucking cool, because you don't really get to see that in a lot of her live action films. Like, you get it a little bit in her voiceover work, because, you know, it's like Pixar or whatever, DreamWorks, and it's all meant to make you cry. But this one, I think, really showed her great. And then Nick Cage as Dracula is probably the best thing Nick Cage has ever done.
Yeah.
That I've seen. There's a lot of movies that Nick Cage has done that I haven't seen. But this was fantastic. He was terrifying and he was funny, but not like obnoxiously funny. Like, sometimes Agreed. Nick Cage gets put into movies so that he can be like this kind of like fake funny, fake awkward, like just to be Nick Cage and be that weird guy. And this wasn't that. Like, he got to be really fucking funny and really serious all at the same time and really scary, and it was excellent. This movie was great, and like Emma said, the action was unexpected and great. There was so much action. Like, this took
oh good
this took the like classic vampire movie where the vampire is like seducing people to like, hey, come over into my castle and let me show off my shit and then I bite you. It just got rid of that, and it was immediately like, no, we're just whooping ass. Like, this is a kung fu movie, and then there's blood. Because it's a Dracula movie, and it was fantastic. Otis.
This movie was great. Now, I've said that this new generation of scary movies, you can have just a straight-up scary movie like Hatchet. I mean, there's probably metaphors to it, but usually it's just a big scary guy ripping people's faces off, and that's Hatchet. There's not much to it. It's just fun to watch. But there's this new wave of scary movies where they have a metaphor in a lower level of, this is the real point of this movie. And I didn't think a vampire movie was going to show me like a pretty toxic relationship and gaslighting. I didn't think I was going to get this from a vampire movie, though. Yeah. Thinking about vampires and how they operate, it's a lot about gaslighting people.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how they function. But I didn't think about that, you know?
But Guillermo's been gaslit for like 200 years.
But I thought it was really cool. This movie was crazy graphic, and it caught me off guard a couple of times.
Yep.
And I was like, this was fun. This was really fun. Funny. And I think the right amount of funny for what they were doing. Now, the plot and some of the story beats seemed kind of fast, but this movie isn't that long. It's 93 minutes. So it had to kind of move. I wouldn't have minded if this was 2 hours. I wouldn't have been that mad about it.
Yep.
Yeah, but this movie moved really fucking fast sometimes.
Yeah, it did.
And I was here for it.
Okay, to be fair, within the first 30 minutes, I had to like double check how far into the movie I was, because so much shit happened.
Yeah.
In the first 30 minutes that I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And
what the fuck?
And I get that when, you know, you have a tight ship, you have to run. It's like, we don't have time to really explain things and go over stuff. At the end, some final fights could have been better. And it all came down to, oh, I powered up again when you weren't looking and I got you. I'm like, oh, I wish he would have, things could have been a little smarter, you know? But like I said, they were running out of time, and that wasn't really the final fight. You know, they had to get ready for that. But yeah, jokes. And in comedies like this, things can just kind of happen. You don't have to really explain it. There were a lot of things that I didn't understand why it happened, especially at the end, with certain circles. I'm like, well, when did you do it? But okay, we have to accept it. It's a comedy, you know? But I like this movie a lot. Now, I don't understand. I'm ahead of myself. We will talk about how people felt about this movie later. But this is a fun one for people that like Nicolas Cage or they like vampire movies, or you just want to watch something that's spooky adjacent. This is a fun movie to get into. Now, for the horror like aficionados out there, and just people that have seen a lot of Dracula films, the beginning of this movie will blow your mind, and how they superimpose Nicolas Cage and Nicholas Holt over other movies, and how they did things mm-hmm. and fit them into movies. Like us watching it, Katie and I watching it, I was like, we watched this movie and this scene, and they put Nicolas Cage into it. It was awesome. This was a very respectful way of showing the old films to people sneakily. It's like sneaking in vegetables into food for kids, you know? You're like, God damn it, you got me. I didn't want to watch that. I didn't want to eat that, but you got me. And this was fun. This was really fun. Big ups to the first 15 minutes of this movie and the makeup. Big ups, because Nicolas Cage looked like shit in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then he just got better and better. There's a lot of cool things about this movie, but we will get through it. I don't think I have any more fun facts. Now, sit back and relax. Enjoy our synopsis of Renfield. So I did a mix of kind of synopsises online and writing out stuff. I think I'm going to start doing that now. It's just kind of writing how I feel about things and scenes. But I say that we get an awesome intro at the beginning showing Renfield. Intro mixed with classic movies. It's really fucking cool. Like when you can turn black and white and superimposing and make stuff look old-timey, but it's not. It's just a really cool look. But we get tons of scenes from Dracula, the old black and white movie, and it's really fun. And so we see that Renfield is a familiar. In this version, he eats bugs to power up his body. In the original novel, it was he fed the bugs to rats and the rats to birds, and he was going to feed the birds to cats, but then he could get cats, so he just ate the birds to get stronger. And he ate bugs too. He was just a crazy, crazy person. But in this version, he just eats bugs to do it. So we see an encounter with Dracula and some of the last vampire hunters showing up to try to take out Dracula. Now, they successfully trap him in a protection circle. And we see our first moment of gaslighting, where Dracula looks over at Renfield and tells him, like, I'm your friend. I'm your only friend. Don't let them kill me. And Renfield breaks down and breaks the circle. I believe it was salt, mm-hmm. probably back then. And we see Dracula go bananas on this priest and this vampire hunter. Unfortunately for Dracula, the vampire hunter knocks off a curtain and sun comes into the room. So as he is on fire, Dracula dives at the vampire hunter and kills him. And Dracula he looks like, I don't know, a burnt rib. Looks horrible. So they move to New Orleans and Renfield takes out bad guys to feed Dracula. So that seems to be, they're pulling like a Dexter situation with it. Usually mm-hmm. Renfield goes for nice, beautiful maidens and virgins and all these things. Dracula does bring up the fact that doesn't matter if they're boys or girls. Don't get all weird on me. But he can heal faster if the blood is pure. Now, Renfield, being that the world is the way it is now, it's a lot easier to snatch up assholes, drug dealers, killers, but their blood is not pure. So the healing is going a lot slower. So we see that Renfield, growing really tired of dragging innocent people to Dracula and the abuse that he gets from Dracula, he heads to a self-help group called Assholes Anonymous. And so it's for people in codependent relationships that is super toxic. And so he seems to be getting better in it. And so what he does is he keeps track of all the people and all the bad things in their lives. And then he goes and snatches up those bad things and feeds it to his master. Seems like a pretty solid idea. Unfortunately, as he is tracking down this boyfriend that is really into ska and his gang that he's in. As he is attacking them, he finds out that there's a hitman out for them. And we see this gigantic man with throwing knives come into the room. And so Renfield takes out this gigantic assassin. And unfortunately, he draws the attention of the rival Lobo crime family. And so we see Ben Schwartz was the one that drove this just giant of a man over to kill this Ska gang. Yeah, it's a Ska gang, honestly. And so he drives off and gets arrested by the cops because his car was full of cocaine and he threw a brick of cocaine into a cop's face. So Awkwafina throws her baton at his head, hits him, and he goes down. Unfortunately, Teddy is his name, Ben Schwartz, his character. He easily gets off because in real life, cops kind of have to have, they have to get all their things in order to appropriately arrest someone. But you could tell instantly that there's more to this story. And Teddy got off really easy. His car was full of bricks of cocaine. There should be some reason to hold him, but he got away. So, oh, I didn't even say Awkwafina's name. Her name is Rebecca Quincy. Hey, Quincy. That was one of the vampire hunters from the original story. His name was Quincy Morris. But there are tons of people in this movie that part of their name is one of the vampire hunters or someone from the original novel. Thought that was really cool. When I heard Quincy, I stopped for a second. I was like, wait, Quincy? That's an important person. Or like Morris. So Dracula tells Renfield that all the bad people he's bringing are not enough. And he needs the blood of the pure. He says, get me a bus full of cheerleaders. Or, I don't know, a room full of nuns. Or, oh, what was the third thing he said? I don't think he said children.
No, because they were all in the bar.
Yeah, he saw nuns and he saw...
he basically said cheerleaders, a bus full of cheerleaders.
Yeah. He sees the bus full of cheerleaders drive by and then they come in for a drink and then he sees a table of nuns. I thought there was a third one.
There was a third one, but I can't remember what it was.
And so while they are in this restaurant, unfortunately, Teddy, the son of this crime family, comes in to try to kill Rebecca because she arrested him and made him look like a fool, even though he is very much a fool. So Renfield opens up his box of bugs, actually gets knocked away. He grabs a bug, eats it, and becomes super strong. And this is our first foray into how graphic this fucking movie is. Now, Renfield and Rebecca fight off all of these bad guys. Hooray! And so Renfield gets his first taste of
self-actualization almost.
Yeah, where people tell him that he's a hero for doing this, and he was great. He's never gotten that for centuries. He just lived with Dracula, and Dracula's like, you ain't shit, you know? So he finally is starting to feel that he doesn't have to be just next to Dracula all the time. And so with the self-help group helping him out, he decides to make a life for himself, and he gets an apartment. And the self-help group actually helps him with the way he looks, because he comes in and it's like his suit's all ripped up and stuff and his nails are dirty and he's very pale because he ain't really alive, kind of. And so they help him out and he looks like he is starting to fit in the world. Good for him. So we see that for familiars, the master can look through their eyes. And so Dracula's been kind of grumpy this whole time because Renfield is kind of avoiding him. And so Dracula comes to his new apartment. Now, Dracula was already there when Renfield comes in because his placemat says, welcome, come on in. And he's like, fuck.
So, get my fucked up.
Yep. So Dracula is like, why are you changing? Why are you acting weird like this? We've had a great thing going and I have a plan. You know, it was just me eating people and just living a good life in the darkness, but fuck that. I want to take over. I want to be in charge. Technically, I want you to be in charge. And then I will just be in the background, pulling all the strings like a puppet master. And Renfield's like, oh, I don't really want that. So Renfield starts reading from one of his self-help books. And Dracula's like, who is doing this? Who is changing you? And he looks at the back of the book and it has an address. It has the location. And Dracula disappears. So we see that Dracula heads off to the self-help group. Renfield runs in, and unfortunately, the leader of the group invites Dracula in. And so this scene, all of Renfield's friends get murdered, and I think within like a couple of seconds, because he gets kicked toward the wall, and they all die before he hits the wall. And unfortunately, Renfield gets caught in a room full of dead bodies by Rebecca. Now, yeah, you're getting arrested, bud, because this room is covered in dead people. So I forgot something. We had to pump our brakes a little bit. Earlier in the movie, Teddy goes hunting because they find out where Renfield has been staying. And so they head to the abandoned hospital where Dracula is staying. Dracula just snatches up all of the bad guys except Teddy, knocks him out. Then a little bit later, Teddy agrees that they should team up, Dracula and his Lobo crime family, to take over the world. Ha ha ha. And they all laugh. And so later, Dracula meets up with his mother. Her name is, she has a really long and awesome name, Bella Francesca Lobo. And so we'll see what comes of that later, but it ain't that good. So Renfield, as he is getting arrested and put into the police car, the whole police force pops up. This is weird. And Bella Francesca is with them. And so instantly Rebecca realizes that, oh, it's not just one person that's like not a good cop. Everybody is on the take from the crime family. And so they tell Rebecca, hey, everything's cool. We just need you to be all right with all of this. Can you be cool with this? And she's like, yeah, sure. She shoots a transformer and drives off with Renfield in the back seat. Now, Rebecca wakes up later and she wakes up in Renfield's apartment. So she took a bullet and Renfield helped get the bullet out. Hooray! And gives her really creepy looking cookies. Was it Snickerdoodles? He said. So
big Snickerdoodles.
So Renfield, okay, here we go. So the cops unfortunately find Renfield's place. So they've been hacking into like the CSA or some type of like overhead camera that just scans everything in the world, apparently. It's like from Enemy of the State where...
It's the CCTV.
Yeah, like right. Will Smith was being chased in that movie by every camera in the world. It's like that. And so they find his apartment easy and the cops pop up. So he has to convince Rebecca to let him eat a bug. And so his next door neighbor has an ant farm and he runs in and tells the kid, I need this, and eats ants and like sand.
Fucking sand.
You're not a good man, Mr. Renfield.
It was great. And then we get a really cool action scene. So I write, he rips off many body parts like a guy's face.
Yeah, he does.
Now
he took that guy's face off, like in that movie Face Off.
Yeah, I'm not lying when I say that his face came off and they just showed it happen. I was like, oh shit, he uses ripped arms as torpedoes and stabs people with arms. It's not even the hand side, the broken off side.
And he goes all the way through the person's body and into the door or the wall behind them. It, like, pins them to the door.
It really does, though.
It's bad. This movie is graphic as hell. It's great. So they head to Cafe du Monde. If you know, well, Katie and I, there's a 20 Minutes at the Bar episode, and I talk about the story all the time, where I met a ghost, and Katie didn't see it, because I don't know. While we were eating beignets there, the ghost was like, this beignet is awesome, Otis. Hey, check out this plate just sliding on the table. I was like,
condensation.
Bullshit. It slid the whole length of the table. Condensation don't do that. But no.
Katie's like, science. Otis is like, no.
No, that plate was on Katie's side and it slowly slid on my side. And I stood there, open mouth, watching it. And I was like, I know you saw that. Katie's like, what? I'm like, God damn it. Like, it was scary. But they they find out at Cafe Du Monde that Rebecca's sister, she's also in the force in a different precinct or a different...
No, she's in the FBI.
Oh, damn, she got snatched up quick. Yeah. So, obviously, she gets snatched up, I just said it, by the crime family. And so, we find out that Dracula and the crime family are in cahoots. Oh, no. And so, Rebecca and Renfield have to go save the day and probably the world. So, they pick up weapons and they pick up a sweet-ass car, probably an impounded car, and drive off. I think it was Teddy's car. They drive off to save the day. Now, we find out that Dracula made Teddy and all the Lobo goons familiars. So they all have glowy eyes like Renfield, which means they're super strong. So Renfield and Rebecca start fighting the familiars. And I think the only thing that's going good for Renfield is he's had this power for a very long time. These guys have probably had it for a couple of hours. So Renfield knows that you're not indestructible. You're just really strong. So he's kicking people's legs the wrong way, breaking arms, and just punching holes through people because you're strong. But if you go for vital parts, you can't get back up. So Rebecca runs off to try to save her dying sister. And Renfield keeps on fighting the goons. So the fight comes down to Teddy and Renfield. And Teddy says, like, you know why it didn't work that you being his familiar? Because, what? He said, because you were empty. You were empty husk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm full because I'm bad. And it's better if you're a bad person. Well, Renfield eats a bug really quick and kicks him in the chest so hard that all his bones break. And he, like, shits out of his butt and sprays blood out of his mouth. I assume he shit out of both ends. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was his
all
blood.
Of his organs liquefied and went out both his mouth and his ass.
It was hardcore. I never thought I would see someone get kicked so hard that they turned into soup on the inside.
I correct. Love when they do this in movies, too, when people get kicked or punched so hard that it turns into an x-ray and you get to watch all their bones shatter. Yeah. Yep. I love that effect.
Yeah, it's Mortal Kombat kind of shit. I love it. So Dracula pulls a Dracula on Rebecca, which means he gets into their head and tells you what you want to hear. That's how he gets close enough to bite you. Because, I mean, he could just kind of jump across the room and bite you, but that ruins the mystique of being Dracula. Now he glamours you and tells you what you want to hear. And so he's telling Rebecca, all you got to do is join me and you will get the tools to save your sister. And through me, you can give your brand of justice across the world. Don't you want that? Don't you want to save the world? Join me. And it seems like Rebecca's going to join him. Oh, no. No, she's not. She was trying to get close to the button that opened up the shades. She presses it and it doesn't work instantly. She's like, fuck. And she finally gets the shades open. Now, Dracula turns into, I don't know, an army of bats to get away, which was a really cool way to get away from light. And scoots off into the darkness. Now, Renfield and Rebecca team up on Dracula. Now, Renfield blocks Dracula's mouth. So he puts his hands in front of Dracula's mouth, and the fangs go through his hands, uses his hands to rip the fangs out. Now, I was wondering why he did that. In the original novel, that is one of the first steps you have to do to kill a vampire. You take out the teeth. Then you dismember them and he set them on fire.
Yep.
Or bury them in a consecrated area. That's kind of what you have to do to keep a vampire down. Sure, you can stake them in the heart, but apparently that just kind of debilitates them. And then you have to do all the other parts also. So Renfield, Dracula gets his teeth ripped out and then he's instantly growing new ones. He's like, that's not enough, bud. You can't just kill me like that. So as Renfield is fighting Dracula, we see that Rebecca made a protection circle out of cocaine and looked up online to find the right words to say. Now, we don't see this happen. They were driving in a car high speed to get there, but apparently at some point she read them, memorized the words, and was ready to do it quietly while Renfield was fighting Dracula. I'm fine with that. It's not the most movie-breaking moment, but I was like, when the fuck did she learn to say it? I'm cool. I'm cool. This is all right, I guess. So Dracula is stuck in a protection circle, and Rebecca and Renfield proceed to dismember Dracula into little pieces, then cover every little piece in cement and dump him into, I don't know, the ravine in water. They dump him somewhere. Another fun fact, running water. Vampires cannot cross running water. I don't know if these rules stand in this story, but there was probably a reason they dumped him into moving water like that. So he, but it seems like Renfield knows that at some point he will reform, just like in the Castlevania games. They, you know, the family, the Belmont family always kill Dracula, and he's like, oh, I'll be back in 10 years. And he comes back. It's just something about Dracula. You can't purposefully kill him forever. I don't know. So everything seems to be going good. Renfield is now his own man. He gets a jug of Dracula's blood. Now, earlier in the movie, we learned the MacGuffin of Dracula's blood can heal anything. I think that still works in other stories, but I think it still makes you a vampire if you drink his blood.
Yeah.
If you drink it, it makes you a vampire, but if you, but you have to drink a certain amount.
Yeah.
Like a tiny bit will heal you, but a whole bunch, like you need a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And it has to be given willingly for you to become a vampire. Like yeah. In, they do an interview with the vampire when he like makes little girl drink his blood. He like cuts his wrist open because she's dying. And he forces her to drink like a whole bunch, basically until he's almost dead, so that she has enough of him in her to like become a vampire.
Yeah. And so we see that Renfield heads back to the support group. I was confused for a second, but then we learned that he used Dracula's blood, the jug of Dracula blood, to heal all of his friends. And there was a really funny line from the support group leader where he says, like, well, thank you for using Dracula's blood to heal us. There's a lot of things that we saw on the other side that we can't forget.
There's a lot of things that can't be unseen.
And he just sits there quietly, and other people kind of nod. They're like,
that shit was wild.
So whatever the fuck they saw, they were like, that was a lot.
Yeah, I need a short for sure.
Yeah, just people in hell like, oh no. And then they come back like, hey, I made it back. Cool. The end. This was fun. Fun movie. So, Emma, who or what was your favorite thing about Renfield?
I enjoyed the entire presentation of this portion of Dracula. I think that was my favorite. I would have to say that if I had to pick one solid thing, it would be the incorporation of Nicholas and Nicholas into the footage from the old Dracula movies, because and the lighting that they put on Nicolas Cage's face for like all of his appearances was so Bram Stoker. And I just, it hit different. And I really appreciated that. So it's just the little things in this were my favorite.
Yeah.
So Katie.
My absolute favorite thing about this movie was the makeup and special effects department. Whoever was in charge of the makeup of Dracula after he gets burned.
Yep.
Like the very first time after when you see him after he gets burned in the opening scene, he looks awful. Like there are body parts literally like melting off of him. Like his ears are all wonky, but you can still tell underneath that is Dracula. Like you can see his gums and his teeth and stuff. And just the makeup was incredible. And I completely forgot that it was Nicolas Cage for like 5 minutes while he was like, while they were doing the scene, because it was so gruesome to look at. And Nick Cage was doing such a great job at embodying the like anger and horror that is what Dracula would be in that moment. It was so fucking good right there. I was like, that's it. This movie's only been on for 5 minutes, but that's my favorite thing. And it just kept getting better. Like, he was excellent at the beginning, that makeup at the beginning, and then as the movie goes on and people are like losing body parts, people are getting punched through walls and like getting holes punched into their chest and shit, it is incredible. Like, it's gory as hell. If you don't like gore, this is not your movie. But holy crap, it's so good. They did such a good job on this movie.
My favorite thing it's tough, but I think my favorite thing was just the casting. Now,
oh, yeah.
I enjoy Nicholas Holt. The last four movies I've seen with him were great. I can't think of a movie I didn't really like him in, but there's something out there. But, and I loved him as a very suffering person to a very bad thing.
Yeah.
And Nicolas Cage, I love Nicolas Cage. He can do no wrong. There is a movie out there, there's probably three, four, five movies that are terrible, but I love them. From him being completely silent, fighting on animatronic monsters, fuck it.
Team
That's
Turtle.
great. You know,
More boss.
or him taking super heroin to try to fight weird demons in the woods.
God, that
Fuck
was a
it.
fucking weird movie.
He is awesome.
That movie was so
He's
chaotic.
absolutely awesome. And I'm happy that he got to accomplish one of his dreams to play Dracula.
Yeah.
It seemed like he really got into it. And that's what you want from your actors. You really want them to be like, I really love doing this. I'm going to act my ass off. You know,
Yeah.
it wasn't just money for him. He does movies for nothing. He's like, I just want to do this because it's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I don't care about getting paid. So I know he got his money in this one, but I'm happy that he enjoyed himself. So, Emma, who or what was your least favorite thing about Renfield?
My least favorite thing is not because I didn't like it, but because of how much I fear that it will invade my moments of when I close my eyes, is Dracula's teeth. They were severely unhinged.
Yeah.
Probably the absolute, undeniably creepiest set of vampire teeth that I have ever seen. And in no means was this movie scary. This
Yeah.
movie was not scary. This was an action movie to the T, like absolute Webster's dictionary definition of an action film. But those teeth and those teeth alone qualify this movie to fit in the horror genre because no, thank you. If I saw somebody open their mouth and they had any amount of that number of pointy teeth, no,
Yeah, it's
I
like
don't
piranha
think there's
teeth.
fast
Ugh.
enough that I could run.
It reminded me a lot of the same mouth structure that they used for Vampires on a Plane. What movie was that with the mom?
Oh, Blood Red Sky.
Blood Red Sky. It
Yeah.
reminded me a lot of that. It was very similar, like whole, every single tooth is like sharp and pointy.
Yeah. Ugh. Katie.
My least favorite thing about this movie was corrupt ass cops. I was gonna say Teddy Lobo, but he was pretty funny. So corrupt ass cops. Absolutely. Fuck them. ACAB.
Agreed.
My least favorite thing in this movie, and it's no real punishment to just the pacing of it and stuff. Maybe it's just things just happen and you just accept it because honestly, that's what happens in comedies. You know, the extreme is the spoofs like Scary Movie where things happen and you're like, okay, it's a spoof. It didn't really happen, maybe. And they'll acknowledge it and then ignore what just happened 5 seconds later. Now, this was weird because, like, some things I can kind of ignore. Like, in the final fight with Renfield versus Teddy, I thought he would trick him in some way to take him out. No, how he beat him was just he ate a bug really fast and kicked him. And I was like, it just seems like a cop out. Like, they were running out of time to give a really cool way for him to get to that point. Maybe if there was one bug left and they both jumped for it or something. And he got it. That'd have been a little bit cooler, but isn't this no, he just kicked him really hard. It looked cool, but it seemed, I don't know, lackluster. And the protection circle at the end. I sound like such a nerd getting like, this sucks. But it came out of nowhere. I was like, how the fuck did she when did she read it? if she played it on YouTube, like she like held the phone out when she made it, I'm like, yeah, okay. The words were spoken, but it was dead quiet. And Renfield's fighting Dracula, and it just happened. I was like, when the fuck did she do it? But maybe she mumbled it really quietly. And I was like, eh. They should have had the phone playing it. I think that would have been cooler. But like I said, if those are the worst things about the movie, it was still a great fucking movie. Okay, so let's do seven word synopsis. I have two of them. I probably could have made like 10. So my first one is great movie that shows a toxic relationship. Like I was saying earlier, this new generation of horror movies is all about it's scary, vampires, gaslighting. That's the real story here. And it's a bad relationship, and how Renfield just wants to feel respect from his boss, you know? And it sucks because people deal with that all the time. They're like, wow, you're making me feel like shit. And it makes it harder for me to want to get out of this because all I feel like you give me some type of love, and that's all I get. So I think that that's normal. It's not normal. So I thought that was really cool. And my second one is, this movie was really graphic as fuck. It surprised me. I remember one of the trailers, you know how trailers show something, but then they pan off and then they show the reaction. It was the fight scene at the apartment and people die. And I was like, fuck. The trailer, I was like, that's gonna be funny as hell. He like ripped that dude's arms off. And then when I watched it, it still caught me off guard a couple times. I was like, that dude's head came off. Oh my God. But it was fun. Katie.
All right. My favorite thing that Dracula said in this whole movie, we're in this together, Dracula and Renfield.
Oh, the sticky note, right?
Yeah, the sticky note. It's like a teeny tiny sticky note that said and Renfield on it. Okay, and then don't be suspicious, Renfield. Don't be suspicious. And then
You're the worst.
Yeah. Renfield upsets Dracula. Dracula joins Drug Lord.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to finish another one, but it was about a sequel, and I'll talk about that at the end. Emma.
I, like Otis, only have a few, but I probably could have written so many more. But I
Yeah.
was just enjoying myself and really didn't want to write anymore. So, toxic codependency goes wrong, but really right. My goodness, the body parts flying around. And then my alliterative nightmare nibbler, nighttime Nicholas's nail numerous nuances.
Nice. So this film came out April 14th, 2023. So
Crazy.
what do you ladies think the budget for this film was, Katie?
I couldn't make a decision because we haven't done a current horror, like a big budget Hollywood horror film in
Yeah,
a long time.
it's been a minute.
It's been a very long time. So I just like took a stab and said $25 dues.
Okay, Emma.
I'm gonna go with $50 dues.
$50 dues. The closest to the pin, without going over, was Emma. The budget was $65 dues. It makes sense. There were a lot of famous
So
people.
many dollary dues.
The CG and
God dang.
it was just a lot to this movie. Honestly, 65 is a bit cheap for how movies are made these days. So, Katie, what do you think the box office was?
My box office, $60 dues.
Okay, Emma.
I heard a lot about this movie, but I didn't really see much theater-wise about it, and then it went to Prime pretty quick. So I'm going to go low and say it probably didn't do as well as it should have, and I'm going to go with 40.
40. Both of you went over, but the closest to the pin was Emma. The box office was $26.9
Oh,
dues.
not enough. Not
Yeah.
enough at
Trash.
all. Yeah.
That's absolute trash. Everybody watch this movie, please. This movie deserves to be a fucking cult classic.
Yeah.
It
Absolutely.
deserves seven sequels and all the things. Please give me more Nicolas Cage Dracula.
Yes,
So,
please.
looking at the reviews of websites, I don't really want to talk about, but I agree with what they said. Although it fails to take full advantage of its committed stars and killer premise, Renfield's horror comedy blend sinks in just enough to leave an impression. Yes. That goes back to, I wish it was 30 minutes longer. Things could have been a little more explained. We could have got more backstory or just more crazy action scenes. It seems like the Daily Telegraph said it fulfills the basic requirements of a beat-em-up formula established by Buffy and Blade. But that's it. To get any further, we'd have wanted a real sharpening of the emotional stakes. That's a pun. So the small gags are great. The overall story arc is weak, particularly a quasi-romantic subplot where Awkwafina challenges Renfield to turn from heel to hero. Yeah, but I was fine with that romantic subplot because he's just been around Dracula. He's like, oh, someone actually cares about my well-being. This is great. And they're a great person. I don't want to be around them. It kind of felt like a friendship thing to me, but there was sprinklings of maybe they could get together later.
Yeah.
But it felt like they were just really good friends and they don't know how to be friends, or they don't have that many friends, maybe.
I think that that is a flaw in a lot of writing specifically for Awkwafina. Yep. I think a lot of writers or directors don't know how to direct a strong personality like Awkwafina into being a love interest, because we saw this same problem with Shang-Chi. Like, she is meant to be his love interest, and there's like little tiny sprinklings of it, but mostly you think of them as just being like best friends.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like all of a sudden they're clearly in a relationship, and you're like, well, where the fuck did that come from? Yeah. And I think it's just because of how she has made her way in Hollywood and like been this like, I am like a rapper, like kind of person, like her just overall persona, comedy and like everything. I don't think anyone knows how to write a true like romantic partnership for her. And I feel like that's what happened here. I felt like there was definitely like romantic connection between her and Nicholas Holt, but I could definitely see where you're coming from too, in that it just felt like they were good friends. Like,
no.
I could see it going either way. And I really think that that's nothing bad on Awkwafina or Nicholas Holt. I think they did a great job. I think it's the direction that she was pushed in, because I don't think that no one's gotten it right yet, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hasn't been able to be like the love interest properly in a movie. And once someone figures that out, it's going to be excellent.
I need there to be like a Notebook level romantic comedy that has her as the lead, so that you can break that no one sees her as a romantic performer.
Yeah.
Movie. Because I need something like that featuring her. Because, I mean, there are a lot of people who had that same issue where they just kept getting cast in the same shit over and over and over until one time they finally get a script that can work with needing to break that that line. So I'm gonna need somebody to do like Awkwafina's Notebook.
Yeah, I think she's definitely being typecast into like this tomboy type persona, type character.
Yes.
And no one
spear thing.
And she's really strong-willed, and no one has really found a way to, like, I don't know, people just don't think that tomboys can be girlfriends or something. I don't know. It works.
Yeah. Like, you gotta try, you know.
You strong women that I know grew up as tomboys and are in relationships currently.
Absolutely.
Like me.
Yeah.
Who is married.
Okay. To drive that point home, y'all see me right now. I am not in like my normal tomboy clothing. I showed up to pick up my son from kindergarten the other day, standing directly in front of his kindergarten playground gate. And he had no idea that it was me because I was in a nice shirt and jeans and not Micah's clothes.
Like, that's not
he literally came out the gate looking for me, and then he goes, oh, hi, Mom. I didn't know that was you. Bitch. If a girl isn't in basketball shorts, my son is like, I don't know who the fuck you are anymore.
Yeah.
You're just a people.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people. So this film released alongside such great movies as The Pope's Exorcist, Mafia Mama, whatever the fuck that is. Hey, it's got Toni Collette. I like Toni Collette.
Oh, was it that one where she goes to Italy and ends up becoming a mob boss?
Yeah.
I remember seeing the ads for that. I didn't watch it, but I remember seeing all the ads for it.
And Sweetwater, about the first African-American to sign a contract with the National Basketball Association. I should watch that. It sounds great.
It does sound great.
So,
I've never heard of it, though.
It did all right, but unfortunately,
April's not a great month for movies.
A lot of, well, take that back, because some big-ass movies came out. Also, the Super Mario Brothers movie and John Wick Chapter 4. It popped out. Well, they were still going. Or
I was
going to
say those probably were still going, like a month into their tenure.
Yeah. So
someday I'll actually watch the John Wick movies.
They are.
John Wick is so goddamn good.
Right. But
you like the action in this movie? You are going to love John Wick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, like I said, I think Micah has said it at some point that it might be high time for some more vampire movies. I think you said it with zombies also, that mm-hmm. is some time needed to go by. It's a shame that this vampire movie didn't do as good as it should have. It should have been a lot better financially. It's a shame, actually. This was fun. Mm-hmm. It was actually a really fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, maybe people aren't that keen on vampires right now, which is weird. But I don't know. Other countries are cracking out good vampire movies. Yeah. Just, I don't know. I guess Americans were not down with vampires anymore. For now, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
I think there was a lot of just aggressive anger at the Twilight thing.
Oh, yeah. Which is getting an animated series, by the way.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, horror people who love vampires just got really upset that for a really long time, for like a full decade, Twilight like dominated the like vampire genre, and everyone, all the like kids and tweens and teens were like, oh my god, vampires sparkle and they're so pretty and they're hot boys. And everyone got pissed and was like, I don't need any more fucking vampire. I'm done. Vampires are trash. Like, don't give me any more of this.
Yeah, it's a shame because this was pretty fun. It wasn't one of the trash ones. But
yeah,
hey. Say Levy. There's tons of movies that should get the due diligence that they should, but they don't. So, you know, I'm going to keep saying it till they make a third one, but the Collector series.
Yes, please.
There should be one more, but I'm not going to say it. We'll get it one day. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I'll make myself sad. It will get one. So, does anybody have anything else to say about Renfield before we get out of here?
Go watch it. Go buy it. Make it more money.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I've already mentioned, it needs a sequel, and I have an idea for the sequel because Ooh. We never saw the leader of the Lobos die. We see Teddy die.
Yeah, she got arrested. But
she got arrested and just, I don't know, went on living her life. And we know that, or they mentioned that Dracula is supposed to come back at some point. Oh, like, yeah. Even though he was in cement and like, chopped up into little pieces, he's gonna come back. So I need a sequel where Dracula comes back. Either she's already out of jail or he breaks her out of jail. And like, clearly there was some like kind of flame between the two of them. Like, they were instantly like feeling each other's vibes. I need her to be like, to become a female vampire and then mm-hmm. them just destroy the world. And then Renfield and Rebecca come back and have to fight him again.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty
let's
solid.
Go
yeah.
Shit.
Bride of Dracula is what I need.
Yeah. Oh shit, that'd be great. So with that is the end of this episode. If you have any other cool fun facts about, I don't know, eating bugs, jugs of juice that is actually blood, self-help groups, you can send all that shit to Katie at
Allentown Pod.
We can email it.
AllentownPresents@gmail.com.
Or Facebook at
Allentown Presents.
So this was episode 346 in the pocket, in the books, out of sight. The music you're listening to right now, that is Flip and the Combined Effort, Flip and the CE, anywhere you can find them. Studio Fetus, thank you so much for the artwork. So like I said earlier, this is chapter one in our month of vampire movies. I don't know if we'll do any other recent ones, actually, maybe. There's another one, and it might be Dracula related. There was actually a scene in this movie that was from the movie we might do. It was on a boat. But I'm excited. We took a year off from doing vampire movies, so it's fun. There are a lot of them out there. I've learned as I've been looking for more of them, but I'm excited. So for sleepy old Bella that's finally not moving anymore, Katie, Emma, and Micah, thank you so much for listening, and we will be back next week with another vampire movie. Okay, see ya.
Bye.
Toots.
Oh, hey guys. Are you guys recording an episode? Wait a minute. Who's that? Wait. Oh man, not again. Not again. Blah, blah, blah.